Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
This is a speaker panel from our Aim of Our Quantum Future event.
Welcome to our speakers, Ilana Wisby from Oxford Quantum Circuits, Prem Tumske from Merck in the USA, or MSD, Global Health Innovation Fund, and Kai Bongs from the Birmingham Quantum Centre. So welcome. In our programme today, we're going to be kicking off with our key speaker panel, and then we'll be going into our breakout sessions. And as you can see, we've got a fantastic array of experts who've been involved in the quantum sector for quite some time now in the research, the startup, and investing side of quantum programme. So some general housekeeping. First of all, this is an open Zoom session, so you will all have the opportunity to be speaking in the discussion groups. So we'll please ask you to mute and unmute when you're asking questions and when you're in your breakout rooms. I'd like to thank quite a number of you who've made some charity donations and made book purchases and that on our Eventbrite. So that's been fantastic. And we would ask you, say the Zoom is open, so you're free to post your insights, your questions in the chat, and then discuss those in your rooms. So in terms of the topic and the perspective where I'm coming from today and that with this, I've been involved in technology startups now going back over 20 years. And really, for me, this started back in the late 90s when I was seeing the rise of dot-com. And how corporates really weren't taking advantage of it and were trying to get their heads around how the business models were going to be changing as dot-com came forward. And over these 20 years now, I've been involved in open innovation, corporate venturing in areas like Internet of Things, health applications. And then I wrote a book about 4 years ago called Purpose to Performance, Innovative New Value Chains. And one of the key case studies in that was from Merck's Global Health Innovation Fund, which Prem is representing today, about how going back 5-10 years ago, they were involved in the early stages of investing in that stage. And it made me realize that just having more computing power or just having new devices, it's about how does business models change. And we're seeing that now from dot-com to Internet of Things to machine learning and AI. So that a key hypothesis of what we're going to be talking about today is how quantum computing now, my key hypothesis from discussion and research over the last number of months, is now getting to that stage where it's going to be having ramped up investment from small scale, early stage VC to strategic investors to corporate investors. And this is going to be talked about by Prem in his perspective from MSD, Global Health Innovation Fund. And then there are fantastic technologies now which have come out of research, either on software side from the likes of Zapater, or from KETS, or from Orca, who are here represented today in the software sort of side of things, which are now scaling up as well from significant investment they've been having over the last number of months and years. And Ilana Wisby from Oxford Quantum Circuits is going to be giving that perspective of funding and scale up. And Kai Bongs from the Quantum Center at Birmingham University is going to give us his perspective from how things are now bridging from research and also how government funding and support that's coming from research and the support they now need in being able to scale and to grow this quantum future. Now, we're going to cover that in the first few minutes of this session, but the main meat of today is going to be in our breakout discussions. And when we go into the breakout sort of sessions, we'll come back to those in a minute. So that's a bit of the context about what we're trying to do today and where I'm coming from within this sort of space. So let's kick off with our key speakers and welcome them to be involved in this discussion. So we'll start at the corporate end. And Prem, could you kick off with your introduction and your perspective on this topic, please, and what Merck and MSD do.
Sure. Thank you, Andrew, so much for the introduction. And this will be the first time that the corporate side starts anything. So very, very happy to be here and have the conversation with you all today. As Andrew mentioned, I'm managing director at the MSD Global Health Innovation Fund, and my background is in finance and management consulting. So I won't be able to speak eloquently about quantum, but I thought what might be interesting for this group is to share how we came to invest in the quantum space and our journeys there in decision making. So would love to get your questions along the way as well or afterwards. A little bit about the fund, which Andrew touched on a little bit, is that the MSD Global Health Innovation Fund was founded really as a way for MSD, which is known as Merck in the US and Canada. It was really founded as a way for MSD to have an independent investment vehicle to look at digital health and healthcare IT technologies. So our job is to invest in things outside of the core pharma business. One of the things that we felt that we need to do as the fund matured in the past few years was think about how do we invest in more frontier technologies. And so I started cultivating an area of the fund called Next Horizon Investing, which we started cultivating in 2019 and then launched in 2020 with some of our first investments. Quantum was honestly one of the first areas that we had pegged for that more frontier investing side of things. But I personally was actually quite skeptical that we would be able to find and invest in any technologies out there. We spoke to a number of different hardware players, a number of niche software players, and had a hard time for us making the case that quantum was going to be a place that we wanted to spend some time and invest some money. However, as we started to get more depth in the space, we realized that there was a number of derivative technologies and learnings that could be derived from participating in a quantum investment. And so when we started to have conversations with more generalized generalized quantum platforms, that's really kind of when things started to align. We were also very lucky enough to have a quantum expert within MSD, Cam Chana, who's been helping us both understand the space a lot more as well as help us go through and talk to some of these companies and have those sophisticated discussions, which we as investors, you know, are limited to. But in the end, we decided to make an investment in Zapata Computing, which is represented here. I think Christopher is leading one of the breakout sessions later, because we felt that investing in a company that would be able to produce quantum-ready applications, help us understand quantum workflows, and creating a quantum orchestration platform that could work across a number of different hardware vendors is probably the right bet for our investment profile. And I think that, you know, there are some key nearer term wins that we think are going to be important as well for proving out the quantum thesis longer term. And I think Zapata has been great at thinking about some of those near-term applications of things like generative machine learning, applications of quantum, so things like supply chain and other enterprise platforms, whereas some of the more groundbreaking disruptive applications of quantum, such as protein modeling, molecular modeling, are probably still going to be a few years out. But I think, you know, we're hoping that we will be able to learn along the way and benefit from the expertise that we've engaged in with some of our colleagues in the quantum space. So I'll pause there, as I think that gives us a general overview of kind of where we have been in the quantum space in our journey to make an investment there, but happy to take your questions later on.
Great, thank you, Prem. Great context and that there where corporate investors are coming from. So Ilana, you're in a scaling up venture, which is received investment and looking for more and relating to corporates. Please give us your perspective on today's topic.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much. And thank you for the kind introduction. I'm a deep tech entrepreneur. I also have a PhD in quantum physics. So have had a fair amount of different experience engaged with the quantum space with lots of different hats on over the last few years. In this role and where I am today, I'm the CEO of Oxford Quantum Circuits. OQC is a spin-out from the University of Oxford way back in 2017, so one of the first kind of quantum computing spin-outs, certainly in the UK. We build quantum computers, so we build the quantum processor hardware backend itself, right the way down from the private cloud access all the way through to the actual processors and qubits, which are built off a superconducting quantum circuit technology, and the core IP came from the university there. On the topic of kind of evolution, well, the last few years, from a company perspective, we've gone from a point of having a piece of paper, an academic founder in the University of Oxford, all the way through to where we are today, whereby we just launched our first product, which is now the UK's first quantum compute as a service available. So if anybody wants to try and log on and register for our beta and use our quantum computer through that private cloud, please do check us out and do sign up there. We've got a team of over 30 people now, and we've got a commercial laboratory, as well as, of course, commercial office and operation space here. From a fundraising perspective, and I'll talk briefly to the evolution of the market from somebody that's been interacting with it from the other side of the perspective. Initially, we had raised around £2 million in seed very early on, and then it was around 8 million of further investment from VC. So we've raised 10 million pound to date. We've also received about 1.8 million in non-dilutive funding from government sources, which has been a huge as well confidence factor for some of the equity investment that's been made. And we will now be raising a further funding round, which actually just launched yesterday. So I'm back out on the road again. So it's been really interesting. Obviously, I've been talking and you know, there are familiar faces on this call of people that I've interacted with over the last few years. And the kind of mindset and evolution of investor quantum readiness has evolved humongously. I think if I had been a consultant for the first 2 years of my life in the CEO role and being paid for education, I'd have probably got as much money as investment in, because it was a lot. It was a lot of early stage education and helping investors understand what quantum is, the impact, navigating the space. They were forming strategies themselves. Are we going to be investing in software, which we saw a lot of early movers and early investments made into the software space, which was a little bit of a cheaper option, and also more familiar. You know, investors have been pretty spoiled by the internet boom and everything in terms of simple SaaS models, and suddenly quantum comes along and it does not fit into the standard SaaS model anymore. So what are we going to do? So we saw a lot of software investment initially up front. Actually, then hardware, as people realize, you know, software's not going to be useful unless you have a quantum computer to run it on, picked up quite rapidly. And even then, the strategies around, are we going to invest in one single hardware technology, or are we going to spread our bets and find the way of funds strategizing themselves, has evolved hugely. So I would say really only in the last year and a half, has it evolved from what was initially quite a small subset of very kind of deep tech comfortable, like fully recognizing high risk, high reward activities. We then saw some very forward thinking strategic start getting involved. So Merck, for example, on the call here today, you know, other really kind of forward thinking strategic starting to think about how it's going to impact their businesses and make some initial investments. I'd say over the last year now, the hype, to be honest, has got really quite significant. And this has meant that it's a really hot space for investment right now. So we've seen a lot larger check sizes, not only in the US, but also now start to translate across to the UK from both a hardware and a software perspective, with Series A's, you know, all the way from tens of millions all the way up, well, from small millions to tens of millions and above. So I think that's been a really interesting evolution. And over the last, you know, few weeks, even as I've been kicking off kind of connecting with investors, the appetite, the readiness, the expertise, you know, I'm not getting asked the stupid questions anymore, which is wonderful. So the appetite and the intelligence, I would say, of everybody's got their understanding, they've got their strategies, they've got their mandates, the funds are in place, and now they're ready to move. So I hope that's some interesting insights. Happy to talk more on what I can. Obviously, can't talk about who we're talking to and such today, but happy to talk more about both the company as well as experience with investment.
No, that's great context, Ilana. I think you were striking a chord with Prem there. He was laughing because I think he might have been asking stupid questions maybe 2 years ago or more.
Well, there are no such thing as stupid questions, but
that's right. But no, I think you've both set the right sort of context there. I've seen it in other sectors, whether it's electric vehicles or whether it was Internet of Things, that it goes through this phase of, okay, let's do the cheaper, easier bits first, and putting power sockets at our petrol stations, for example. And then it's, oh no, we've got to get 24 million of those spread out across the whole countryside. And that requires a different type of investor and a different way of thinking about how whole industries are changing. And we're seeing that within the quantum context. So Kai, you're representing here, sort of coming from research and the branching out. So you were the step before Ilana, you're creating more Ilanas. And that, give us your perspective on that from your perspective on this quantum future, please.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. And so my name is Kai Bongs. I'm the PI of the UK National Quantum Technology Hub and Sensors and Timing. And like, this is one of the four like government funded flagship projects in the like UK National Quantum Technology Program. So there's also the Quantum Computing and Simulation Hub led by Dominic O'Brien, who's also on the call. There's the Communications Hub led by York and the Quantum Imaging Hub led by Glasgow. And then of course that's completed by the National Quantum Computing Center and like the training and skills hubs, like the one in Bristol, where we have Andy Collins on the call. So like, you have a lot of the landscape here, and I'm not representing everything. And with sensors, we are like sitting like not just academically at the bottom of the food chain, but also like sensors are sitting at the bottom of the data chain, which eventually like moves up to computing. So we provide like novel kinds of data, change the quality of the data you get, and you change the world. That's really like whenever people in the past have been able to detect something or measure something they weren't able to measure before, with that novel quality of data, you could do something entirely new. So we're using atomic probe particles to detect like essentially gravity looking into the ground, seeing what's under our feet, which is very important for infrastructure developments, construction works, oil, minerals, carbon sequestration. We are developing magnetic sensors, which are really important for healthcare. And that's where there's actually like our one big spin-off joint venture between Nottingham University and Circa to develop completely new type of quantum magnetoencephalography system, allowing to see which parts of the brain are like working and essentially hopefully helping with drug developments in the future for like dementia, child concentration deficit, but also branching out in brain computer interfaces in the longer run. We're working on sensors for navigation to help essentially find our way even when there's like satellite navigation is not available. And we are working on sensors for like precision timing, where like we see like a near-term application in quantum enabled radar, which will be very important to like do future flight, all the packet delivery drones and so on, keeping them safe in cities. We're now in our second phase of the hub, so 7 years in the whole National Quantum Technology Program. The first phase was really successful in like linking to the supply chain companies. So we have been working with over 70 companies, over 100 million in collaborative projects with companies, and a lot, like at least 25 products coming out in the supply chain, building stuff up to like some early prototype quantum sensors. What we're really missing now, and that's the problem or the challenge with sensors, is they only make sense as part of a system of systems. They are sitting like in your smartphone. The smartphone wouldn't be able to do very much if you didn't have a GPS receiver in there, if you didn't have your like accelerometer to count your steps or so, then it would just be like a nice like high power pocket calculator. So the data influx into these sensors are really enabling a lot of systems. And if we look at hospitals, aircraft carriers, all these require the most advanced sensors, but it needs a systems of systems thinking. We need to engage with the large corporates to really think through how could this change the overall business, the overall way of running things. How would our communication networks look differently if you had distributed high precision clocks? Could you run like more bits per watt, like per data channel? So like save power while doing more communication. Could you effectively like do a much better underwater exploration if you had different sensors for like your navigation? So the whole blue economy, how do we tap into this and get the systems thinking into like the development? We need to have that discussion early on, and the discussion with the corporates, with the systems of systems thinkers, while we sit very far down on the food chain, so that we develop the right things and help these things to progress. But there are a lot of steps in between. So I'm really keen to learn how can we engage, how can we make these steps happen. And just one last thing, in addition to providing the new ideas, like we are engaging very strongly with the applied academics at the university. So academia might provide also like a role in test and validation in relevant environments. So we're working with the civil engineers to like test our sensors in the national underground facility for like what can we see under the ground. We are working with neuroscientists to demonstrate like measurements of brain function. So we are working with radar engineers to set up a radar test bed to show like the advantage of quantum enhanced radar. So there are things to help de-risk it and show, essentially let the corporates play with the technology. And so we very much invite you to play, but also like tell us a bit how we like accelerate the whole process of essentially the market pull here. Thank you.
Excellent. No, great context and great setup there as well. And I think you've each illustrated from your perspective here that we're on the edges again of a new technology, which is going to be quite, you know, disruptive is an overused word, but I think gives you potential for things that we haven't thought of yet. You know, it's always this thing about when was it Henry Ford asked, "What do you want? I want a faster horse." And we're in danger now of companies just saying they want a faster computer. But as you've raised, Kai, and as the others have raised, we've got new facilities and new functionality here, which researchers in the labs are seeing some new potential. We've got startups which are starting to create something new. And we've got corporates which could see that they could play things in a different way. So, and I think this, how do we bring organizations together, I think is really an important part. And what I often like to say is this is not about thinking outside the box and just getting people, your own people in your own rooms doing post-it stickers. It's thinking in other people's boxes is what I like to say. It's what can we learn from what the chemical industry has done with its initial sort of trials? What can we learn from the logistics industry? What can we learn from the financial services? What can we learn from oil exploration and then apply that into other sectors? And I think going back to my initial introduction, talking about the initial dot-com in the 1990s, yeah, we saw that we could sell books online, and that's what, you know, Jeff Bezos did to start with. But of course, the business model is now completely different. And I think we're going to see that in the quantum sort of type perspective and that as well. Any other reflections from our speakers now that we've gone round? Any sort of fit, any other sort of perspectives that you've got now we've gone round each of you? Prem?
No, I think I think you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think that as I look at my organization and some of my peer organizations, I think I see M Ventures represented, which is the other European-based Merck. I think that there are going to be leaders in the space who have to reconcile this problem. I think the necessity of quantum, being a fundamentally different type of approach to computing, means that people are in a mode that they want to learn more about it now. So I agree with your comments. I do think that there will be an escalation of investment in the space in the nearer term.
Yep. And Ilana, more reflections from you on the potential now?
I think, well, obviously we know we're all here because we're excited by quantum, and we know it's going to be radically impactful, and that it's a paradigm shift, which also means that unless we have end users engaging with it and until we have the technology available, that's when even more applications are going to be understood. And it's, you know, we have ideas, we have theory, we have some early tests today, but until the hardware is available and the system requirements meet the user specification and user needs, that's when, you know, even more fully comprehension of what radical impact it can have on customers and for industries is going to be impacted. I spoke a lot about, you know, the venture side, and I think one of the things that's underpinning venture confidence in the evolution of this space is now starting to see the market maturing. So obviously that is, you know, a reflection and a cause of. But what we're also seeing now is, you know, the first, you know, we mentioned our product launching, of course, but we're seeing, you know, INQ with the SPAC, for example. We're seeing the first examples of acquisition, you know, as well. We saw CQC and Honeywell merge. We've seen multiple different kind of market maturity factors as well, which I think is also underpinning this kind of next phase, I would say, of market maturity.
Yeah, no, excellent. Good, good. Any other last reflections from you, Kai? Breakout?
Oh, I'm effectively just excited to see so many like new faces around this hall and with a lot of the investment community, because I think that's really, we are at the step now where we need to engage. Things are ready as demonstrators and essentially learning how to find people like Ilana and how to engage to like make things move a bit quicker. We can see the large corporates, like the multinationals, start to have some interest. But how do we essentially engage and use their interest to drive that into like spin-offs, startups, and investment to like serve that interest? So there's a lot of questions I have, and I'm excited to see how far we get in unearthing some outputs there.
Great. No, excellent. And you're all with precision quantum timing on the half hour and that as well. So well done. But we're going to move now into the breakout sort of sessions. I think you've sparked lots of interesting perspectives in that here for us when we break into the breakout room. So let me give you the overview of what the breakout rooms we've got, and also the fantastic facilitators we've now got that in this phase that we're going to move into. So we're going to be addressing the breakout groups in the context of what we've just been talking about, are going to be addressing the opportunities for scale up quantum ventures for corporate investment and commercialization. That what is the, sort of the overall context, I think, of what we're going to be discussing in that today. And I said, when AIMAVAR has been doing these over the last number of years now in different sort of sectors, we found by you going into these breakout groups, you spark discussions, as the key speakers have just talked about, in looking at, you know, looking in other people's sort of perspectives around where we've got opportunities. And we've got a number of titles in that here that we're going to be covering. So we've got 10 groups. The facilitators we've got are some fantastic individuals who really understand this sector, have been working around in this for some time. So I'll briefly introduce them. So Najwa from Quantum Knowledge Transfer Network is going to help facilitate this sort of first group. And Rosalind Ros Jones is going to be helping with the note taking. So you'll be selecting your room, the group, which has got a brief description of the room, and you'll go into these sort of rooms. And the facilitator is going to help with doing the initial introductions and discussing the topics. We've got then going to scale up to engage with strategic investors. We've got Daniel Frank from M Ventures, which is the European Merck, and Yanping Chen, who's going to be helping with the note taking. Connecting the dots, helping startups facilitate specialist equipment. Rapesh from the from University of Oxford is going to be supporting that. We don't have a note taker in that room, but if somebody would like to pick up and help Rapesh in taking some notes for feedback afterwards, that would be great. People skills and what's needed in the quantum scale up. Ilana, who is recruiting at the moment in Oxford Quantum Circuits, will help to facilitate that group. issues for DSML, big data, and the context for quantum. So this is the challenge now, as we've got more quantum computing driving areas like artificial intelligence. We're really pleased to have Christopher here, who's the chief executive founder of Zapata Computing, which has had investment from Merck and BASF. We were also on the call on that today. And Justin from Cambridge University is going to be helping the note-taking there. Learning across the industry verticals, so how can we share across these different areas? We've got fantastic Richard Murray, who's been involved in quantum in the UK for many years now, who's the CEO of Orca Computing. National security, investment, and the global political issues around quantum, which could really have an impact on corporate investing globally. Bob Cockshott from the Quantum Knowledge Transfer Network. Government support, what is now required? So this really is, now we're moving from the phase of just being in research. What sorts of areas of quantum support do we believe that we require now in this next phase of scale up? Do we require it, and what is it? So Kai's going to be doing that. Effective corporate engagement and educating them on quantum potential. The speakers have touched on that already, on how we're evolving. Andy Stanford Clark from IBM is going to be covering that topic, with Joseph Tedds, who's Cambridge University and who is currently working with one of the pharmaceutical businesses. And security as a quantum focus area. So Chris Irvin, who's the CEO and founder of KETS, Quantum Security out of Bristol, is going to be facilitating that group. So wrap it up. Thank you all very much for your participation today. Really like to thank, first of all of you for participating. You know, I think hopefully you found from this, it's as much as the other people in the room who've been there having discussions, meeting new people, meeting old friends, and that within the ecosystem. And as I said, thinking in other people's boxes, you know, is really an important point. And we've raised quite a number of topics on that today. And what we're going to try and do from this session is we're going to create some short videos. We're going to create the notes from the facilitators and the notes takers. So that will be really useful. We'll be bringing some content out from this. And I said, if we can help to go into more detailed areas, detailed programs, or look at going into depth in more of these areas, hopefully we can be supporting the ecosystem with this sort of quantum future. So thank you all very much. Thank you to Ilana, to Kai, to Prem for your fantastic your input on that today. And also to the facilitator who've done a great job. So really appreciate that. So thank you to you all.
Do check out AIMOVAR's Eventbrite for programs for tech startups, venture investing, and corporate venture capital.